You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
So I know what you're thinking. Daniel Garrett last week. Mark Garrett this week. I'll take it. Is this some sort of Garrett clan takeover? Are Pastor Lee and Lizanne locked away in some Garrett basement somewhere? Janet Garrett next week. Just take one look at Janet and you'll know that won't be happening anytime soon. But no, Pastor Lee and Lizanne send their love. They're having a well-deserved break. They're not locked in a basement. They're enjoying the delights of Costa del Deeside. That's their words, not mine. But it is my first time up here preaching. So we've done tithes and offerings. We've done welcome. So yeah, it is my first time. Well, what would make me feel much more comfortable and relaxed is maybe if we could just pray together. That'd be great. And maybe if you can stand, stand with me. And if you can't stand, just maybe put a hand in the air. And let's just pray that, you know, my words will be God's words. You know, when God speaks, things change. And my prayer today is that we don't leave the same way that we came in. So let's just give this time to God now. Lord, we just thank you that you stand with us. You were never far from us, Lord Jesus. And we're so thankful for that. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, now we know that one touch from the King can change everything. And so we pray now, Lord Jesus, that we invite you in, touch our lives and change everything. Do not let us go out the same way that we came in. And may my words be your words, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. 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 And also just pray for the voice. It's struggling a little bit, but let's no coughing fits, let's hope, in Jesus' name. So Christmas. Happy Christmas, everyone. Good Christmas? Yeah? Kids, presents good? Top presents this year? Virtual reality headset seems to be something that keeps popping up. I was out walking the dog the other day and went on a really long walk praying about this, things on my mind. And I walked past this window and there's this guy in the window and he was jumping around. I thought, you know, he's like, this is really like threatening behavior. I'm not having that. I've got the mighty cockapoo Alfie with me. I'm going to stare this man down. I fear no man. And then I realized as I looked directly through this bay window that this guy was there with his VR headset on doing some sort of strange 90s dance. And I thought, well, £400 for virtual reality to look like that. I prefer actual reality, which is free. I tried that joke on my nephew and yeah, I just thought I'd chance it, but there we go. Christmas, it's a really interesting time. I love Christmas. It's one of my favourite times of year. I'm a real gift giver. That's one of my love languages is gift giving, and if I'm being brutally honest, gift receiving. I love Christmas, but if I was brutally honest, it's a cocktail of different feelings and emotions, Christmas. There's loads of excitement, there's loads of anticipation. It can be quite daunting. The cooking can get quite pressurised. There's ups, there's downs, there's twists, there's turns. You know, you love turkey one minute and now you hate it the next. And you love being with family and now you still love being with family. You know, it's a whole cocktail of different feelings and emotions. And if you were to ask me, and if I was to be really honest with you, I'd probably say Christmas was great. It was really, really good. But there are certain aspects of my life which I feel quite sad about. There are certain aspects of my life which I do feel really excited about. There are certain aspects of my life that I feel quite frustrated about. There are even certain parts of my life that I feel quite angry about. And I think it's the same for all of us, isn't it? There's a lot going on under the surface. And in Proverbs, the Bible describes us as this. So Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says, "A person's thoughts are like water in a deep well, but someone with insight draws them out." And it can be like that with feelings, can't it? They can run really, really deep, and there can be loads of them. And just every now and again, there can be the surcharge, the volcanic eruption of feeling, when you get consumed by a certain feeling. Let me give you an example, a little personal story, dare I say, affects a couple of members of the family in the room. Actually, I should have asked, was Daniel's preach kind to me? Because I missed last week. Or do I need to go to Do I need to go to version 2 of my notes?
Version 3.
I'll save that for another time. Picture the scene, it's the early 90s. There's a young, handsome, debonair, erudite, Mark Garrett. It's great having the mic. And he's dating the beautiful, sophisticated Janet Fairbeard. Yeah, Fairbeard, I kid you not. She married young for obvious reasons. I thought it was, but I think the surname had something to do with it. So we met at university and were dating, which meant that after, when term finished, of course, back home, and Janet lived in Plymouth, I lived in Cheshire, so 280 miles separated us, so we had to rely on the long distance call. And this was just before the time of mobile phones or the dawn of mobile phones, so we had to rely on the trusty landline, the landline. Not in our house though, we had the landline, but we also had the cordless phone. It was a landline, youth, but cordless. Yeah, that's real innovation and transformation. A landline, but cordless. And you could like swagger around the house taking your call, and you wanted everybody to see it and hear it. But not the calls with Janet, of course. No, they were special. They were special calls. And just a bit of context, I've got 3 brothers. One in the room, Jamie. Brace yourself. And I'd probably sum up our experience at home as banter, low-level bad behaviour. You know, that's what it was like. And so I used to have these calls with Janet, and I'd go into the attic room out of, you know, earshot, bit of privacy, have these long calls with Janet. And little did I know that Paul and Jamie, who sits there, third row, Jamie, they work out how to listen into my calls using the other handset downstairs. I know. It's an outrageous violation of my privacy. Outrageous. Not really feeling the empathy in the room. Outrageous. And over several days, they were quite clever with it, to be fair to them. Over several days, they dropped references into conversation, which were just enough to make me raise an eyebrow. Not to give them a berating. And then on one day, they overplayed the hand, of course, and must have said something beautifully romantic, poetic to Janet. And there was this massive laughter I could hear. I don't understand what's going on. Do you remember we used to say, oh, cross lines. Do you remember the phrase, oh, I've picked up somebody else's call. And then I realised that the laughter I could hear in the background was the same laughter I could hear a split second later on the phone call. And then it dawned on me what was going on. And let me just tell you, church, these feelings rose up within me. I was quite a hot-headed 19-year-old, and from the soles of my feet, these feelings rose up within me. Volcanic eruption type of stuff. Now, I don't quite recall what happened next. Maybe talk to Jamie in the foyer afterwards and give him a reproachful look before you do that. But if I said Attenborough, the Serengeti, lions, zebras, that was the kind of thing that happened after that experience. I don't recall completely, but I do remember there was a form of laying on of hands. So we know there are times when we get consumed by feelings. And it's not that feelings are wrong. Don't get me wrong, church. Feelings are not wrong. But we need to understand that there are times when we need to master the feeling. We must master the feeling, otherwise the feelings will master us. And why should we do that? It leads us to do stuff we regret. It can also mean that we can't always trust our feelings. If you're going through a particularly difficult time, you're tired, feeling a bit vulnerable, you know actually sometimes your feelings can't always be relied on to give you the answer that you need. It can lead us to do things out of character. You all heard the phrase, you know, that was so out of character for him. It's almost like talking to Ben Clifford in the foyer and getting 30 seconds into the conversation and he's not mentioned Chelsea once just because they're winning. But they can actually rumble under the surface and actually start to shape our character in a way that's not great. And they can actually lead to us having a fairly distorted view of reality. Yeah. Feelings aren't wrong, but they can be really difficult to control. But I really want to encourage you this year We're in this strange period between sort of Christmas and New Year, just maybe a chance to reset and start thinking about actually how can we break some of the patterns that we've had before in 2024? How can we start to be more God-led than feelings-led as we go into 2025? How can we break some of those patterns? How can we put God first and work in the supernatural rather than always responding in the natural? So just really want to encourage you with that. That's what I feel that God is saying to us this year, this coming year, is that let's be God-led and let's see what God does as a result of that. Let's look at what the Bible says very quickly. Always good to know what the Bible says about these things, not just what Mark Garrett says. So a couple of verses. Romans 1:17, it says, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, not by sight. It also says in Proverbs 3:5, this is one of my favorite verses of all time, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, your thoughts, your feelings, what you see right in front of you. And let's just look at how Jesus role modeled this behavior, because certainly I have not role modeled this behavior particularly well. Let's look at Luke 22, verse 42. It says this, and this is when Jesus is in the garden just before he's arrested. It says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. It's this incredible scene where we understand some of the humanity of Jesus, where he's in the garden about to be arrested. He's sweating blood. He's in deep anxiety. And yet here he is clearly saying that, actually, despite how I feel, your will be done. So there's great news in this, church, is that although our feelings can be powerful, we can rule over our feelings through the power and grace of Jesus Christ. And I just want to share with you three top tips this morning about what I've learned in terms of trying to master the feelings within me. You know, what God has taught me in terms of being God-led rather than feeling-led, because our walk with Jesus is absolutely more than just a feeling on a Sunday morning. Here we go. You ready? Three top tips. Has to be three. We're in church. Has to be three. No more than three. Always three. Number one, God's word is final. Your feelings are not final. They might be really strong, but they're not final. The final authority is the word of God. And I'm going to tell you a story. It does involve Daniel, but it's a nice story, kind of. The end of it is a nice story. So it's Daniel in the stairs. So Daniel will know exactly what I'm going to share about. And I don't have the time to tell it in its entirety. It was one of the daily devotionals on the Audacious website, but it's one of my darkest moments in my life. And like I say, I don't have time to retell the whole story, but Daniel was 2 weeks old, lived in Reading, terraced house, very tight staircase. He was in a Moses basket. I was trying to get downstairs. Maybe I was rushing. I don't know. It all happened very quickly, but I lost grip, and he fell out. Fell out at the top of the stairs, landed on the bottom step. Cut a long story short, depressed skull fracture. In A&E, depressed skull fracture, two weeks old. Broken. Absolutely sick to my stomach. And I was in that kind of room. And you know when you're in a place where you're in the right place and you're surrounded by the right people, but you just don't think it's going to be enough. You just don't think it's going to be enough. And you find yourself calling upon a higher authority. And I was sat there just broken. And I looked around me and there was a toilet cubicle. And I thought, I just need to get in there. I need to pray. That's all that was going through my mind. I need to pray. Go into this toilet cubicle, on my knees. Toilet, literally tiny. Toilet in front of me, sink there. And I'm thinking, this is maybe the weird way my mind works. I'm thinking, oh, the last time I did this was a bad night out when I made some really bad choices. But, you know, Lord, and I called upon the name of the Lord. And thank God he answered. You know, and what did he give me? I didn't want platitudes. I didn't want somebody to say, it's going to be okay. I needed a word from God. And the word that he gave me was quite a strange one from Job. If you've ever read Job, you think, gosh, it's not probably the most encouraging book to get a scripture from. But it was Job 38, verse 4. I might come up in a minute. It says, this is when God's speaking to Job. It says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And basically, God was revealing his majesty to Job through his creation. And I knew in that instant that my God, holds the heavens and the earth in the palm of his hand. And I knew that the situation I was in was not beyond my God. And I knew in that instant that he was going to be well. Despite how serious this was, I knew he was going to be well. The battle I had then was I going to live standing on the word of God or be consumed by the feelings of guilt, self-loathing, hate, fear, worry, all of those things, as you can imagine. And literally every hour, to begin with, I was having to take myself off to another room and just, I'm standing on the word of God. I'm declaring the word of God. You know, this is not time to fear. This is not time to worry. This is not time to, I haven't got time for that. What I have got time for is the word of God. I'm going to stand on the word of God. And literally, hourly, I was having to kind of leave the room and just go and declare what God had said. And what I learned in that process, because obviously Daniel's 2 weeks old, we're not going to know if he's well until 9 months later. 6 to 9 months, that's how long. Was I going to be denied the joy of Daniel for 6 to 9 months, or was I going to stand on the word of God and believe he was going to be well? 9 months later, 6 to 9 months later, we were in Oxford Brookes Hospital in the sort of cranial specialist department, which is pretty distressing in itself. Lots of kids with cranial disorders. And we go into see the consultant, I'm absolutely like, and there was almost this like dismissive tone in the room. And we got in there and he's going, it was almost like, why are you here? And he flipped up an x-ray and he said, these are the words. He said, it's like it never happened. And Daniel's development was textbook. You know, when you first have a child, you buy the books, yeah? Week 2, week 3, week 4, Daniel did everything. It was bizarre. Actually, on the day or just before. Is he peeing on time? Yes. Is he pooing on time? Yes. Can't believe I'm saying this, but it's Daniel. Is he still regular? Oh, yes. But we all know what it's like. You know, you're rubbish. You're not good enough. You make mistakes. No, hang on a minute. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. I'm forgiven. I'm adopted. Even though times are tough, you're the lily of the valley. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your mercies are new every morning. God loves me. And we need to declare the word of God over our lives. Because if we do that, our work with God is more than just a feeling. It's the perfect antidote to what we say over ourselves, to what others say over us, and to what the devil speaks over us. Our walk with God is more than just a feeling. Number two, you with me still? Yeah. Second to last. That's why 3 points is great. Second to last. Stop, look, and listen. Do you remember in the 80s? If you grew up in the 80s, you'll know what stop, look, and listen means. The green cross code. Kids, stop, look, listen. And he brought it back to me about 4 weeks ago when Mandy Jones, Claire Watling, a deputy head, a super head, walking casually away from church, just about to step into the road, giving it some of that to each other, not stopping, not looking, not listening. Fortunately, I was there. Stop, look, and listen, I said, Claire. Arguably saved their lives that day. Arguably. But sometimes we need to understand that there's more to a situation than meets the eye. When you're feeling led, you just react, don't we? We just react. But sometimes we need to stop and think, actually, what's really going on here? Sometimes we need to really look at a situation. What is going on? Sometimes we need to just listen and hear God and say, what is happening? How do I need to respond to this? Stop, look and listen. Let's look at the verse. Ephesians 6, 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. When something in the natural doesn't stack up, it means that there's something happening in the supernatural. We need to grab hold of that and understand it. I had a really difficult time at work when I relocated from London to the Northwest. I was really looking forward to starting with a team, only to find that they really weren't looking forward to starting working with me. I don't know what had gone on behind the scenes, but there was something obviously really spiritual happening. I knew God had called me, but it wasn't easy. And for about 6 months, it was just difficult, just, you know, a slight toxicity underneath the surface, just ground me down, got me really down. There was one lady in particular who wasn't in the immediate office. She was down the corridor. She thought I was doing the job that she was doing. She felt threatened by it. And she used to come in and all difficult conversations, line managers involved. And I got to Christmas and I just thought, oh, do you know what? I've just had enough. And I listened, went to church and there was somebody preaching a really simple message around, love your enemies. Well, I know that. Pray for your enemies. Well, I know that. Well, there is a difference, though, about knowing it and applying it. And I thought, I've not applied it at all. Not applied it. I've just done it all in my own strength. So I pray for this lady in particular, pray. And then I go back 2 weeks later, sat at my desk thinking, oh, wouldn't it be funny if the first person through the door is the lady? The door opened and it was the lady and it wasn't funny. And I thought, oh, no, what's going to happen here? Well, there's 13 other people in the office. Maybe she'll go and see one of them. No, she came straight to me. And I have to say, and I still tell this story, this is 20 years ago, but it just stands out as something just miraculous. She came over and spoke to me. Her whole countenance and demeanor was different. She was like a completely different person. Only God can do those sorts of things. You know, we have to sometimes realize we need to be proactive in the supernatural, not just react in the natural. So I've been reacting in the natural. And I got really tired and really debilitated. You know, you start getting angry about things you shouldn't get angry about. You start apologizing for things you shouldn't be apologizing about. It's just so destabilizing. In fact, you become a little bit dysfunctional, don't you? You can't see the wood from the trees. You don't know why things are happening. But sometimes you need to understand that actually we need to see things as God sees them. So when we start praying and putting ourselves in line with God, we see things as they really are, not as you think they are. You know, the devil wants a veil of confusion. God wants you to have clarity and the power of perspective. Our walk with God is more than a feeling. Last point, be thankful. There's something really powerful about the thankfulness. In fact, you'll find it in lots of different cultures and philosophies, the power of thankfulness. And this is about us taking control. Let's not let our feelings dictate. Let's dictate how we should feel. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. It says this, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Psalm 100, verse 4 says this, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Notice what comes first. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And there's something about that that takes control of the atmosphere of our inner man and our inner woman. When we start to choicefully say, I might be struggling with all this. There might be this situation happening. There might be this really difficult circumstances, but I'm going to choose to say to God what I am thankful for. It's not a passive thing, it's an active thing. It's proactive, it's taking control. It's saying, I'm not going to be led by life, I'm going to lead life. I'm not going to be led by my feelings. I'm going to be led by what God says. I'm going to be thankful before God. I'm going to enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And it's also a choice. And something God has been talking to me about, the power of your choice. It's so important. I believe the devil wants you to feel like you have no choice. You feel like you have no choice. In God, there's always a choice. There's always a choice. Pastor Josh said it. He will make your path straight. Lean not on your own understanding. He will make a path where you can't see one. He will make your path straight. Corrie ten Boom, who was a Jewish lady, family, captured by the Nazis, taken to Auschwitz, one of the concentration camps, and she saw the Nazis take everything from her. She saw her family get murdered. They stole the clothes off her back. She had nothing. They took literally everything. And she says something so powerful in her memoir. She said, although they took everything, what they couldn't take from me was how I chose to respond to what they were doing to me. How incredible is that? How you choose to respond. You've always got a choice. God will always give you a choice. There will always be a way out. And when you might not be able to see the wood from the trees, you know the saying, God will make your path straight. He will be a lamp unto your feet. Step by step, he will take you through. So whatever challenge it is you're facing in 2025, God will lead you. Your path will be straight if you acknowledge him in all of your ways. If you let God lead rather than your feelings lead, you will walk a path that is so exciting, where you will see amazing things happen. It's not the absence of challenges that Christianity gives you, but it's the knowledge that God stands with you in those challenges, and you will overcome in the mighty name of Jesus. So I just want to take a chance to pray now that we have this moment just to kind of maybe reset. If you feel like, do you know what? Maybe I have let my feelings master how I've been leading my life. This is a chance to say, do you know what? My intentional prayer for 2025 is to be God-led, not feeling-led. You know, when we'll make mistakes, we're not perfect, but there is something powerful in saying, I'm going to make the statement of intent. This is what I'm going to aim for in 2025. I'm going to aim to be led by God, not by my feelings. If you feel like you've been touched by that, just stand with me. And what we're going to do is just declare that over our lives for 2025. If you can't stand, just raise your hand. But let's just pray now and declare that 2025 is going to be different than 2024, because we're going to let God lead, not our feelings lead, in Jesus' name. Lord God, we are so thankful. We are so thankful for what you've done in our lives, Lord God. We're so thankful that you are faithful to us. Lord Jesus, that you are our guide, that you've sent your Holy Spirit to be our comforter, the one who walks alongside. Lord Jesus, and today we make a declaration that it's so easy to get consumed by life. But Lord, we make a stand today to say, Lord God, we're going to make you the focal point. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? I'm going to lift my eyes from myself and I'm going to look to the hills, because I know where my help comes from, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And so we say now, Lord Jesus, Father God, for 2025, Lord God, we know our feelings are not wrong, but we don't want to be mastered by them. Lord God, you are our master. Lead us, Lord Jesus. Lead us into breakthrough. Lead us, Father God, into transformation, Lord God. Whatever it is that we face, whatever challenge, whatever circumstance, Lord God, you are with us. And you're going to lead us. You're going to direct our path. We're going to acknowledge you in all of our ways, Lord God. We're not going to lean on our understanding. We're not going to be led by sight, Lord God. We're going to be people of faith. We're going to believe it. We're going to declare it. We're going to say it. And we're going to walk into it in Jesus' name. And Father God, we make that our prayer in 2025 as we walk over to the building across the road, Lord God. We're walking over there, Lord God, because you've got a plan. A plan to prosper us, not to harm us. A plan to give us a hope and a future, Lord God. It's a plan to reach many. Lord God, you're the God of the many, the anybodies, the nobodies, but you're also the God of the one. You left the 99 for the one. You're the God for the one. You have a heart for the one, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father, within us, as we take our eyes off us and put our eyes on you, Lord God, you'll give us a heart for those around us in Jesus' name. Lead us, Lord, we pray. Guide us, we pray, Lord God. We humble ourselves before you and we say, your way, not my way, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.